This is the Parkscope Unprofessional Podcast Hour, episode 2.24, Indescribable. Welcome to the Parkscope Unprofessional Podcast Hour. My name is Joe. Joining me tonight is Nick. Nick, how are you doing?
I'm okay, Joe.
You okay?
Yeah.
Jeez.
Don't huff the tequila. Is what
if only we recorded the pre-show. Y'all, don't huff tequila. It's a real bad idea.
Bad idea, y'all.
Runny eyes, runny nose.
Also joining us tonight is Sean. Sean,
yo,
how you doing?
I'm doing terrific.
How's the weather out there?
Weather is terrible. I'm inside, not going to do anything this weekend because all my friends are out of town, so it's going to be a good weekend.
That's kind of depressing.
No, actually, I'm kind of okay with it. Things have been crazy hectic with my life the past 3 weeks, so.
Fair enough.
I'm kind of jealous.
Fair enough. Well, I'm thinking about going. I may be going to Pittsburgh this weekend, so I need to figure that one out.
Move it to Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I'll probably go to Pittsburgh. So Hoffer House.
We get the news from all over the country on this thing, even Pittsburgh.
I think Pittsburgh.
What the hell is with Pittsburgh?
In Disney. I have no idea. I think it's just a thing. I don't know. Got me. Whatever. Anyway. If not Pittsburgh, Philadelphia, because Philadelphia's always good.
Born and raised.
Yep. Anyway, so let's start off. Rolling right along. We're going to do a news episode. Hey, Baloo.
He got fed, so he shouldn't be too loud.
Yeah, he's still pretty loud.
That was one time.
He was doing it in the... Oh, and whatever. Anyway, so moving right along. Footloose and Fancy
moving
Free.
Moving right along.
Dun, 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 dun. Man, we're just going to be like...
Y'all
are so random tonight.
We're not even going to talk about anything. We're just going to start throwing out quotes. Just like...
Show notes.
Sidetracked by quotes the entire time.
The ding-dang.
The wing-wang.
The big bang. Universe, you're cleared for takeoff. So, starting off, Frozen. Guess what, guys? They decided what they're going to do with Frozen. Somebody somewhere gave a blank check to entertainment department. So they're doing a Frozen thing in Hollywood Studios this summer. It starts the 5th. They're going to do Olaf on Summer Vacation. Where I don't know what's going on. I think it's like a photo thing.
I think Olaf's not even going to be there.
He's going to be screen.
He's going to be on the screen and, like, park-wide announcements.
Yeah.
I
kind of thought it was going to be like this. I think it's going to be like the Stitch thing, isn't it? Like, he's up on the screen talking.
Yeah. Well, I don't think he's going to be talking to anyone, though. It's not like he's going to be interacting with people.
Well, no, I meant like it's like a pre-recorded thing. And
Right.
So...
Olaf the Snowman is having the time of his life on his very first summer vacation. He chimes in throughout the day to keep everyone updated on his adventures. Plus, you can pick up your very own take along Olaf from locations in the park so he can join you on your summer vacation. And when you share photos with Olaf on social media, be sure to tag him with hashtag Olaf Summer Vacation. They may just get selected to appear in the day's grand finale.
So they're basically going to be selling interactive Mickeys with Olaf that are going to talk around the park?
No, I think it's going to be like, you know, Flat Stanley? I think it's going to be something like that. I imagine it's going to be like a paper Olaf.
Okay. I got you. Did y'all see that they have a premium package for this?
Well, we're getting to it. Hold on one second. That ends the ridiculousness of this whole thing. Then we have Anna and Elsa's Royal Welcome at 11 a.m. each day. They arrive down Hollywood as part of the Goodwill Tour of Neighboring Kingdoms because...
What does that even mean?
Hollywood is a neighboring kingdom of something.
What does that even mean?
Anyway, this involves three of the
Christmas Parade.
Christmas Parade floats, and is why the stage is still up in front of the Sorcerer's Hat, because, God, that place isn't totally screwed up. For the first time ever, a Frozen sing-along celebration, if you don't count when you actually went to the theaters and sang along. Cool Down Inside in the Premier Theater. Isn't that where they did Hunchback?
Hunchback, yeah.
Hey, I'm fine. Hey, look, it doesn't get used now. Let's use it for something. I'm okay with that.
I'm actually fine with most of this.
Yeah.
Wandering Oaken's Trading Post in Frozen Funland, which I think is like, Oaken's Trading Post is probably my favorite part of the movie.
Yeah.
I'm yeah, definitely.
Just throwing that one out there.
Yo-hoo! Become Yo-ho! A boss.
Clearly the best part of the movie. So that sounds fun. It just sounds like, you know, Cousins of Creative Frozen Funland, cold weather activities, unique photo opportunities, and more. There's going to be ice skating. They said it was like $10 for 30 minutes. You can bring your own shit if you want. Big slumber blowout.
Who in Florida has friggin' ice skates?
I don't know.
Why are you going to lug them around the park?
Yeah.
I don't know. They're going to get like people on the 5th to do it, and then they'll take photos, and there'll be a 30-day blog post on that. Coolest summer ever dance party, because God help us.
We need a dance party.
We need a dance party, because that's what people do nowadays.
Well,
and then,
this is like a replacement for the original dance party that they had planned.
Explain.
They announced the Rock Your Disney Side dance party at Hollywood Studios like a week and a half before they announced this Frozen thing.
Yeah.
Showing how much of a rush job this was.
I do not remember that at all.
Yeah.
That's why the stage was originally left up, was for that thing.
Wow, I do not remember that at all. Yeah. Anyway, and then followed by the Frozen Fireworks Spectacular, which is probably the Star Wars fireworks with Frozen shit.
Yeah. That's fine.
Which is fine, yeah.
It's the whole event's fine. It's just nothing spectacular.
Nick?
Although, no, there is one big, ridiculous bad point that I have to... But there is no meet and greet.
Yeah. Yeah. Even for the people who are paying for the package.
Right. You can't meet the characters.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the package real quick.
Okay.
The package is... Sorry, I had to quit out of something. It costs $59 for adults or $34 for children. Now let me read real quick. They can check in wherever. They enjoy refreshments and reserved viewing for the Anna and Elsa's royal welcoming procession. Later on, they'll experience reserved seating at one of the four the first time ever a Frozen sing-along celebration, because that's something that's going to require reserved seating.
Yeah, it will.
The evening will end at 8:30 to 10 p.m. with an exclusive dessert party, because, of course, it's Disney, and they do dessert parties and dance parties. In a reserved area for viewing the nighttime Frozen fireworks spectacular. I wonder where that'll be.
I think it's... Hmm. Where I do think you it's, th- like, at the...
I don't know where it would be.
I feel like that would... Do you know where I bet it's in? Animation Courtyard.
No.
It's shitty, but it makes sense.
It's probably somewhere around the front of the... Not the front of the stage, but like...
I'd say Bill's Dockside Diner area.
Yeah,
but
somewhere
that's
there.
The check-in area, so that makes sense.
Over there by like American Idol Experience and all that.
Yeah.
Okay, so...
Did someone just make a cat noise?
No, the...
American Idol thing.
Oh.
I hope and pray they get, like, images of Lou Mangiello ice skating out of this.
Oh my god, yes.
They will. And it'll have the Lou Mangiello smile. Mm-hmm. Trademark. Which is pretty much the same as the Michael...
It really is.
I realize... Yeah.
It must be a lawyer smile.
It's the lawyer smile. And now I have to record the timestamp. When I said
y'all took like 20 minutes of talk about me.
Yeah, so I recorded the timestamp now, and I'm going to have to edit that a little bit. Whoopsies.
What, are we not allowed to talk about him anymore?
No, we're not allowed to talk about his last name. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. It's something he brought up. Anyway, enough said. This is a rush job.
Yeah, but it's fine.
It's fine, but I think the two issues I have is not with the actual thing. I guess it's with people assuming that this is some sort of massive Potter swatter, whatever they want to call it, thing, which is bullshit.
Why would we even acknowledge those kind of people?
Well, A. And B, that's, I think, what Disney wants to do with this.
No, it's a desperate move to try and just keep as many people, not even hurt Diagon.
The thing is, they want to keep people. The idea is to somehow keep people at this park. And I think it's just going to hurt Disney more.
It's going to hurt Epcot and Animal Kingdom.
Exactly. I think it's going to hurt Epcot more than Animal Kingdom. Right.
No, I don't agree there.
The reason why I say that is because I see Animal Kingdom. I think Animal Kingdom has more of a pop. I think it has more popularity for people who like Frozen, in that it has animals and it has, you know, more of a family thing than Epcot does.
I will say that, like, a lot of people who take young children, because, you know, I'm in that age bracket now, they go to Animal Kingdom and they'll skip over Epcot in the studios. They'll go to Magic Kingdom, Animal Kingdom a lot.
Exactly. That's my thought, is that they'll just skip over Epcot, and I feel like Epcot will be hurt the most. But whatever. They got a big pickup with the World Cup, so it's all good. I just can't believe they're doing a $60 package for this. And I mean, I remember when they still did when they still did the parades and all the cool stuff.
Before the movie even came out.
Yeah, exactly, before the movie came out. And now we're in summer, and we're just like, yeah, let's just... I mean, they used to have new floats and all this cool stuff, and now it's like, yeah, let's just reuse some stuff, and we're scrambling. They're in panic mode.
If they were going to do this Frozen Maelstrom thing, which, let's be real, has been designed in a pretty quick turnaround, they should have started that a long time ago.
It's just, I feel like there's a lot of talk, but there's not a lot of walk on the whole entire, we're going to build synergy kind of thing that everyone was clamoring about and talking about.
No, they build the synergy that's easy.
Yeah, exactly. They don't want to actually do synergy. They prefer to do the synergy on Finding Nemo after like a decade, but they can't move that fast. That's the problem. Okay, are we done talking about Disney now?
For now, yeah.
For now?
Yeah, I don't think anything else is going on, right?
Only for now.
Yeah, I think we're good.
To quote Avenue Q.
Hopefully Maelstrom closes soon, so we have something else to talk about there.
Oh no, I don't want Maelstrom.
And I don't mean hopefully Maelstrom closes, but we all know it's going to happen, so hopefully we have something to talk about.
Well, the current information says that Maelstrom is going to close, but that can always change.
It's gonna happen.
It can always change.
It's gonna happen, though.
Anyway, Diagon Alley, y'all.
What about it?
Media Week. It happened when you and I were there, Nick.
Yeah.
That was fun.
I didn't get to see nothing.
I didn't see anything either. I went. We did Antojitos. We did the Parkscope meetup, and I went to Blue Man with my family and Chop Chop, so I never even actually dealt with that at all, but yeah. It seemed to be good.
Yeah, I think they did a really good job. I liked how they showed off everything at the property, not just, you know, they didn't just focus on Diagon Alley, they took the you know, national media around to all the hotel, all the resorts, all of City Walk, all, you know, Transformers, Springfield, Despicable Me, all that kind of stuff. It was good. I think they did a really, really good job. It's unfortunate that the land couldn't open like they wanted it to that weekend, but you know, that was kind of out of their hands at that point. But I think they did a really good job.
Yeah, I saw some of the stuff that was going on there when I was walking around with Bryman from OU. And I mean, I jumped in when I saw they did like a media kind of, like, they split the media into like thirds, and they had Theriku at Transformers, and they brought out Bumblebee and Optimus Prime, and they had him come out, and he would talk about the attraction and all sorts of stuff. That was really cool. Also, they got to see the Blue Man show. They did a whole entire, they bought out the theater for the night. That was really cool, I thought. They gave him, I believe, Vivo Antojitos and Hot Dog Hall of Fame.
Yes. Correct.
And also they had a setup for Cowfish, but they didn't have food for that.
Right. They had like the creators and owners of Cowfish.
Yeah, there. Which I think is still really good. Really weird they didn't have Breadbox. They should have mentioned that. Or Menchie's.
Well, I think I don't think they're like Antojitos. You know what I mean? It's like
I understand. I just feel like, you know, everything they need, they really need to hype everything there. I felt that as a really weird admission.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, they didn't have like Cold Stone there either or anything like that. But
or Starbucks.
Starbucks moved. Cold Stone is Cold Stone new there? I keep forgetting. Yeah. It's new, but I mean Cold Stone's pretty well known. I don't know about Menchie's.
They didn't have Red Oven.
Yeah, they didn't have Red Oven.
Well, they had Red Oven at the media event when they announced all this stuff. They already covered Red Oven. Remember? Back in the day?
Yeah. I'm just thinking about what else they have. They didn't.
That's it.
That's it. I mean, they didn't.
That's all the new stuff.
They haven't announced anything yet, so everything else, you know, they're just trying to get through what they have. So that seemed really good. Everyone liked that, it seemed like. No ketchup on hot dogs, because that is wrong.
Nah, that's fine.
No, shut up.
Ketchup's fine.
No, you're all wrong. And it seems like everyone liked it a lot, which is really cool. I'm really excited about that. And let's talk, since we're here, let's talk about CityWalk real quick. Nick, you and I went to Antojitos. We talked about it a little bit last episode on our trip report. That's really good.
Yeah.
And then the
phenomenal.
Inside Universal guys are there today. And they're from Southern California, and they like it too. And Mr. Robert Niles, friend of the show, Robert Niles, went there and said it was good.
Yeah, he was raving about it. Yeah.
And he was raving about it. And I think Antojitos is huge, absolutely massive for this resort. It's really good. It has a good bar, a great atmosphere. I mean, they have the mariachi band playing outside most days. It just seems like it pulls people in.
Mm-hmm. And it's the color catches your eye.
Exactly.
Sean and Mike are right.
Yeah, I know. I'm dealing with it now.
I still don't like the color, but
I'm dealing
it does
with
its job.
I'm dealing with it. That was cool. I think right now the kind of how things are going right now, I feel like Vivo is being it's like the dark horse of what's going on right now. I feel like people aren't talking about it as much. Maybe it's just me, but my parents love it.
I don't know.
Loved
Vivo. Vivo seems real big on Twitter.
But my thing though is I feel like it got really big on Twitter and then kind of died out because of Diagon Alley. But I feel like Antojitos got really big for a while on Twitter and it still is kind of big. I feel like Vivo kind of died out. But I mean, Vivo is just.
Well. Sorry. Antojitos is kind of a social place.
Mm-hmm.
So it's by its nature, I think it's always going to be more visible and stuff like that on Twitter. You know, it's a drinking place just as much as it is a food place.
Correct.
Whereas Vivo is basically just food, where, you know, people are going to say, oh, it's great and stuff like that, but they're not going to be like there after the park for a drink and stuff like that.
If they would have added like a wine bar to Vivo, I think
Which
you would see more.
Which I thought they were supposed to.
A wine bar would have been pretty
sweet. I swore that was in like the original announcement. I could be wrong though.
I can see them adding a wine bar outside.
Because, see, I think that would help.
That would be awesome.
Because the outside just seems to be a bunch of random tables scattered around. Yeah, I can just see that. I can see him adding like a small, like a low-lying small bar area with a nice big overhang, and have that as the wine bar.
Yeah.
Well,
no one wants to eat heavy pasta dishes outside in Orlando.
Correct. Well, I mean, and if they would take those tables that they have underneath the overhang that they currently have, and just put a bar out there, put some stools and some high top tables, and let it be, and have like a wine and cheese type bar thing going on. I think it would be huge.
Yeah, I agree. And also, the pasta dishes aren't massive, which is
No, which is, but they're priced, I mean.
But you still don't want to sit outside.
My parents won't stop talking about how well everything is priced at Universal. They won't stop talking about it. They won't stop talking about how good Antijitos is, how cheap it was, and how affordable Vivo was. It blows their mind that these pasta dishes were twice as good as anything they've gotten on Disney property and half the price.
And handmade.
And handmade pasta that day.
Yeah.
And it wasn't goddamn, you know, spaghetti and bolognese. It was, you know, it was the squid ink or the razor clams or those crazy things.
I'm getting that squid ink pasta in September, by the way.
It sounds fantastic. Well, we need to talk about where we need to go to dinner in September. And we should also mention that in this episode, too.
But mention the pub crawl.
Yeah, the pub crawl. I mean, we got Antijitos, we got Vivo, I want to go to Cowfish.
Chop Chop.
Yeah, I want to go to Chop Chop, too.
Chop Chop. We should do Chop Chop. I think Chop Chop is an actual thing we have to do.
We should do Chop Chop the Friday, the first day we're all there.
I like that. That sounds like a good idea.
I agree. That sounds good.
Okay. Anyway, and back on the topic.
I just want to comment on the food prices real quick. The sit-down food prices, especially for the quality that Universal is getting right now, is their one of the biggest selling points, I always tell people. And I really hope that they stick with that. You know, I hope they don't see the people rolling in and think, well, we can get away with, you know, adding a quarter, you know, 25% to this price and 50% to this price and stuff like that. Because I think it's one of the things that people come and they're surprised with, and it's one of those things that they tell their friends about.
I agree.
You know, that was the one, you know, I know there's some, you know, I love Mythos. Mythos is my favorite sit-down restaurant in a park. And it has great food, but one of the other reasons is the prices are just, they're unbeatable.
Blue agrees.
Yes, he does.
Mythos is so awesome.
I feel like that's the biggest thing Universal has going right now. It's just they're nimble. They do not have the bloat that Disney does. So they can change offerings quicker, have better offerings for cheaper prices, and just be on top of everything. I mean, Disney is just understanding food trucks.
Disney is the elephant and Universal is the tiger.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's a good way to put it. I mean, Disney's going to move. They have momentum. They have the bloat. They're going to have people who say, no, my job depends on this. I'm not going to change it. Blah, blah, blah. You know, all that stuff. They have internal politics, all that stuff. But, you know, Universal went through the lean period. So, you know, they've had the fasting and they've understood what's going on. So now that they're building up, they know that they have to be nimble. And that's what they're being right now. So that's awesome. I like that. Anyway, done with City Walk?
Mm-hmm.
Cool. So,
sorry. Real quick. Our friend Foxy Hoops, MK Pony, went to Hot Dog Hall of Fame tonight.
Yes.
Or today. And she was raving about it. She said it's the best hot dog, possibly the best hot dog she's ever had. And the fries were very good.
Yes. So,
I mean, again, the prices.
And Hint of Spy went to Chop Chop.
Multiple times. Twice
now. She loved them both times. I talked to her about that. She loved it. Did she go to Vivo? I forget.
Yes, she loved it.
And she loved it. So
she was there with Scarlett that night.
With Scarlett went, and Scarlett loved it. And
I feel like this is all the classic. Universal doesn't have the restaurants. I'm going back to Geico, Disney crowd is now seeing all the offerings that Universal has and is
beelining. The last 2 weeks, I feel like, have been a huge turning point.
Yeah. Yes.
For a lot of things. A lot of things.
Hogwarts Express was huge.
We'll talk about this later, but things are changing.
And this is exciting.
Big things are happening.
Big things. Big things. Let's talk about a big thing right now. July 8th.
July 8th.
That is rumored to be a very important date for the Frozen event in Disney. I've heard that they may be trying to pull some special people in for that to keep people on property. But also July 8th is when they're going to be doing the Diagon Alley thing, finally, for all guests. Official opening date, July 8th now.
It's a-coming.
It's a-coming.
Tuesday.
Yeah, man, Tuesday. That's crazy.
It's a week.
Feels like
less than a week.
We're 6 days away.
Like just yesterday that Jaws was around.
He's still here, Sean.
He's still here in our hearts.
Exactly. He's still here, as I point towards my heart. He's still here.
Did y'all see that picture of the somebody made with Hagrid pilot in the Jaws boat, and it had Doc 9 3/4?
No! What?
Yeah, I think Derek made that.
Was it Derek?
Yeah,
it has to be Derek.
That's amazing.
I need to see this photo. Oh my god.
Ooh, that's good. Sorry.
Water high heart. Watermelon?
No, sweet action from 6 Point.
Ooh.
That's good.
Very nice.
I like that.
I have to pick some up. IPA.
It's an ale.
Pale.
It says it's an ale, but their description is impossible to describe.
Well, is it impossible to describe?
No, it's an ale, but it's I don't know. I'll have to have a few more sips to explain it. Shut up, Luke.
Man, he's still hungry.
He's always hungry.
Anyway, July 8th. Holy crap, that's 6 days away. 5 days, probably, when I get this up and everyone listens to it. Maybe 4 days. Who knows? Jesus Christ, guys. We're here.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy, man.
I wish I was gonna be there.
Yeah, you're going to be there first, Nick, so shut up.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think we finally decided on our date to go down for it, so.
I think you'll be there first. Actually, Frontier had a 20% off sale today, and I'm like,
Yeah, I almost bought one, too.
And then I realized, oh yeah, I have like 8 weddings to go to, and I have a bunch of stuff I have to do, and I can't afford that. Oh yeah, I remember now. So, yeah, that's fun. Yeah, July 8th. You first, then Mike, then me, then Sean, I think.
Yeah.
You'll
get there probably like an hour before I do.
Yeah, close enough.
He's gonna be running in there too.
Because you're not gonna be you won't see it the night you get in.
No.
But you'll see it the next morning. We have to talk about all that stuff too.
Talk about
hotel stuff. We'll talk about that after we record.
Okay. Never mind. Well, I mean, we'll talk about the whole thing, but we'll talk about everything else after recording.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hmm. This is interesting.
So, is it indescribable?
It's like, I don't know. It hits you with like a slight bitterness, bitter hops in the beginning, and then it's just like smooth and sweet at the end.
Indescribable.
It's really good.
Indescribable.
I would definitely recommend it.
And that was 6 Point what?
Sweet Action.
Sweet Action. I'll have to pick it up. I'll have to go to Heinen's.
It's their original beer. Or their, like, original release.
Cool.
Yeah.
So, we have an opening date for Diagon Alley. I've seen a bunch of videos. You guys haven't seen a bunch of videos, so I'll just shut up.
I have watched nothing other than the NBC.
Yeah, let's talk about the special. How great was that?
It was really good.
That was like
I really liked that they focused on the creatives and not the, you know, the cast. Like the cast was there, but they really focused on the creative side and how they designed and built it and stuff like that.
That's great. Yeah, I mean, what I liked was It reminded me of the old-fashioned Disney specials like they had on Travel Channel. Like in the late 90s, like especially the Disneyland Paris one.
Or the Disney Sea. Do you ever see the Disney Sea one?
Yeah.
Oh, the Disney Sea one's so good.
I mean, it's stuff like that. They talk about the creation of it. It's way beyond the whole entire, you know. I think the epitome of, like, the bad specials was, like, Disney's, like, California Adventure one. We were just Colin Mochrie as a police officer saying, well, as you understand, is that Disney California Adventure opened with as many attractions as Disneyland did. And it's just like, oh, my God, just no. And it was just, like, the exact worst thing they could do. And it was, just like, all fluff, bullshit, not cool. This is all, like, info, geeking out, hardcore, having a good time. People, like, showing everything imaginable. So good. It was fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. And they showed the Beetle the Bard shows. They showed Celestina Wahlbeck. They showed a little bit of Gringotts-ish inside. Not really attraction. They showed... I mean, they showed everything. They showed, you know, behind the scenes when they were doing the construction. And they gave the dates. So we could go back on the dates and see our tweets when they were filming everything. I mean, is that crazy?
Yeah, I really liked it.
It was really good. And seeing all the green screen stuff was great.
Yeah. It's a shame they didn't promote it more.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it got 3 million viewers, which is not bad. They're going to be reshowing.
For what it was, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, for what it was an NBC News special on a Monday night.
In the middle of summer.
Yeah, I mean, it did pretty well.
4th of July week, too.
Yeah, it did pretty well, I feel like. So that was really, really good to see. I cannot stop watching it. It's so good. So good. I don't know what else to say about it, but the special, if you haven't seen it yet, go search it out. It's available various places.
Yep.
Let's see. We talked about Media Week, the special opening date, City Walk. Shall we get into some unannounced things?
Some rampant rumor and speculation.
So, Sean, what did you hack recently?
What's up, Nick?
Yeah, sorry, Nick.
I was just going to say, just don't forget that Bread Box opens on Friday. That's the one thing we didn't mention. Bread Box opens Friday.
Yes. Bread Box opens July 4th. Yes, I sent it to you guys.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, you jerks.
Yeah.
In the text?
Yeah, I sent it to you in our text feed right before I sent you the unofficial guide quote.
Yeah, we're today? On number 7 now.
Yeah, today.
Oh, dude, my phone was...
Yeah, I know. Let me read the menu real quick. They have the Bread Box Fresh, which is a chicken salad sandwich, egg salad, Italian roast beef tuna, PLT, which is...
Prosciutto?
Prosciutto.
Oh, yes, I'm in.
And they have roasted turkey. And then they have a grilled cheese bread box, which has three cheese, which is Monsieur Fontana and Wisconsin cheddar on multigrain or white bread. They have a turkey grilled cheese, which is smokehouse turkey, bacon, gouda, tomato, and tomato aioli on multigrain. They have pastrami grilled cheese, which is New York style with Swiss cheese. Fried chicken, which I think sounds the best. Pepper jack.
Fried chicken, grilled cheese?
Yes. Pepper jack.
Yep. Hell yes.
Fresh slaw, bread box sauce, and ciabatta bread. That sounds the best.
Awesome.
That sounds amazing. They have a tomato and mozzarella, a veggie, and a smoky brisket grilled cheese. They have some salads. They have some sides. They have some soups. They have some good beverages. And the best part is they have shakes and their treats.
Oh,
and for desserts, they have a cookie, they have a brownie, and Twinkies.
Twinkies, nice. Dude, this really sounds good.
And they have wine, beer, and soda.
Yep. I really can't read their draft beer selection, but I'm willing to bet it's probably...
It's InBev.
Yeah, it's... No, it's not just going to be InBev. It's probably Sam Adams.
I see Sam Adams. Yeah. I see Bud Light. I see... Is that Keeling?
I think I see PBR on there.
And I see Blue Moon.
And Blue Moon, yeah.
PBR must have thrown Universal some money.
Yeah, something's going on there.
Because Cabana Bay has, like, all that PBR shit.
Yeah, don't hate that PBR shit until you're there, man.
Oh, no, I think it's cool, but I'm just saying, like...
Yeah,
it's PBR.
It's PBR. It's not that great.
Paps. I have a Paps.
Oh, shit. Oh! Okay. Sorry, ready to move on?
Yeah, I think so.
So what website did you hack this week, Sean?
The comptroller site.
Okay.
No, but this wasn't this week. This was last week, I think, wasn't it? I think it was like last Friday.
Yeah,
I think it was Friday. Yeah, last week. But yeah, last Friday I was bored at work, as I oft am. and I decided to take a look at the Orange County comptroller site. And I found some big long documents from Universal City Florida Hotel Venture, which is kind of like the side of the theme park world that deals with Lowe's and the hotels. And it was about the next three hotels.
Yay!
Mostly about hotel number 5, but it was about, you know, there was stuff about hotel 6 and 7 as well, and actually more stuff about hotel 7 this week that I'll get into after we talk about hotel 5 a little bit. But hotel 5 is officially going to be on the plot of land between, well, part of the plot of land between Royal Pacific and Cabana Bay. It will be 1,000 rooms, give or take. It said approximately 1,000 rooms. So, and it will be physically connected to Royal Pacific by a pedestrian bridge that will connect the event space of the two hotels. They're, you know, adding more convention center space to this with this new hotel, and they will be connected with a pedestrian bridge over Hollywood Way. Hollywood Way is being basically completely reconfigured, and the new hotel will be connected to the water taxi line, which is awesome. But it will not have Unlimited Express. That much is for sure. And we originally thought that maybe the diagrams are marked Royal Pacific Edition 1. And so we originally thought that this was going to be an expansion of Royal Pacific itself, but with no express, and it seems to be in the documents, it lays out how this hotel should be sold. So for, like, you know, not the travel agents, but the hotel planners at Universal, it says that they should push the three deluxes first, then this Hotel 5, and then Cabana Bay and the other two that'll be coming. So this seems like it'll be kind of like a moderate, almost, you know, in between Cabana Bay and Royal Pacific. It won't have Express, so it's obviously not the same hotel as Royal Pacific. But, you know, having the water taxi is awesome. I love that waterway. I think it's one of the defining features that really sets Universal Orlando apart. So I'm glad that that's getting extended, because I was worried that we were never going to get more of that.
Hey, Sean.
But yeah.
Do you have like a lot of wind going on? Because I get a lot of feedback on your end. Or
yeah, sorry, I have a fan on.
Yeah, jerk.
It's hot, man.
Oh, put your AC on.
It is on. It can't keep up.
Keep it. Okay, it sounds much better now. Thank you.
But yeah, so that's that.
So what about the other hotels?
Is there anything else about Hotel 5? I don't think so.
Mm-mm.
So we're looking at Hotel 5 as a, like, Port Orleans, Riverside kind of style to the French Quarter.
Yeah, that's kind of the deal that I'm getting from... Obviously, they're connected, so you would think that the themes would be similar, and they're close enough where they'll definitely be able to see each other. And I'm, you know, the nebulous sources of the Universal world seem to be corroborating that it will be a tropical-esque theme. My rampant speculation would love a Jurassic Park hotel, but I don't think that'll happen.
Fair enough.
But yeah, I think they'll be similar, but not the same in theme. So yeah, like a French Quarter Riverside kind of deal.
Okay. Maybe something a little more rustic while the Royal Pacific is more grand and...
That'd be cool.
I think that'd be... Sorry, Nick?
I say I'm hoping for like little small bungalows type thing.
Okay.
It's definitely not going to be that.
I know it's not, but I'm just saying that's what I would like to see. Because that would be a completely different...
Yeah. But it'd be also... would be a little similar to what Polynesian's doing right now.
Yeah, screw Polynesian.
Also, that would probably make it a lot more expensive than what it's supposed to be.
Exactly, that's my thought. I think it may have the bungalow aesthetic, but it will definitely be...
I would love to see, like, kind of driftwood construction, kind of Adventureland-y...
I feel like what would really be a good story, hashtag story, would be, like, this new... addition being like the first piece of Cabana Bay, like they built like 20 years or 30 years before they built Cabana what Bay. Is currently
you mean not Cabana Royal Bay. Pacific?
I'm sorry, yeah, Royal Pacific. I'm sorry. I feel like it would have been like the original Royal Pacific 30 years, and like he built his money off of it, and then built what is currently Royal Pacific.
That would kind of ironically be a lot like the Riverside story yep. hashtag story.
Exactly.
Which is like, you know, except the other way around. They built the mansions first, and then, mm-hmm. you know, the rest of the settlers came and built, the poorer settlers built Alligator Bayou.
Yeah, I mean, the idea being that, you know, that he built his money.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
And then they pushed that story during Media Week, you know. So
they did, which I found interesting.
Yeah, you know, he made money off of it, so he's building this now, and... You know, they're connected, and that's how they have that all going. So I think that's just an interesting way to look at it, so.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Yep. Anything else with hotels?
Hotel. So I'm getting conflicting signals on Hotel 6. Hotel 6 is either going to be a 400-room hotel or a add-on to Cabana Bay, a 400-room add-on to Cabana Bay. Steven, when he broke the water park story, which we'll get into later, had said that Cabana Bay was getting more rooms. So I figured this is what he's, you know, what we're seeing. But I'm kind of getting whispers from another person that says their Hotel 6 is not going to be part of Cabana Bay, and it's going to be very special. So I don't know what's going on there, but either way, we're getting 400 more rooms, either Cabana Bay or another hotel.
What is 400 rooms in relative to the small. Other? Very small, small.
Very small. Very small.
How big are the other resorts?
I want to say Royal Pacific is 1,000 something. Wait, no. Yeah. Let me think, because it was 4,000. It's 4,800 rooms after Cabana Bay, I think. Yeah.
And I feel like Cabana Bay added like 1,200.
No, or something. It added 1,800.
1,800. Okay, there you go. So, yeah, maybe.
So, yeah, the other ones total have 3,000.
So this is going to be a real boutique hotel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I don't know what the actual room counts for the other three are, but I think it's 3,000 altogether. And then, yeah, so 400 rooms would be really small, and you'll know, I don't want to put this out, like, exactly what it is, but you two, we heard a crazy hotel rumor at one point. I hope you remember.
Oh, we do.
Yeah, and I could see that maybe being the case.
That would fit, yeah.
But I don't know. We'll see. When I heard that someone else told me that it was going to be another hotel, not Cabana Bay Edition, that's immediately what I thought. So we'll see. I'll get off this topic, because if I say any more, I'll give something away. And then Hotel 7 will be 800 rooms, I think, approximately. And Hotel 7, the big news came this week, which I tweeted out. I didn't even edit the post. I probably should have. But Hotel 7 in the contract says it probably will not be on the existing Universal Orlando Resort campus. It will be part of another area of land that is bought or acquired. So that's the biggest news on that one.
That would be about the size of Portofino Bay if it had 800 rooms. Okay. Because Portofino has 750.
Right. Yeah. So, and with all those, that would bring the total room count to 8,000. No, not 8,000. 7,000. 7,000? Yeah, 7,000.
Yeah.
I can do math.
Math.
So that would be 3,000 off of what they want, the minimum of what they want. They said they want 10,000 to 15,000. So just the beginning, theoretically.
And doesn't like Disney have like 40,000 rooms or something like that?
I don't even know. I think like 34, maybe.
Yeah, something real, really ridiculous.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm excited because we're going to see this resort complete basically within the next 6 years.
Okay. Yeah.
Like the existing resort is going to have something built on it for the most part in the next 6 years. Am I wrong?
No. I don't know what else to say. I feel like they're building everything out very soon, so.
It's an exciting time. Oh, and Hotels 6 and 7 will not be Lowe's branded. They'll be obviously run by Lowe's, but they will not have, like Cabana Bay, they will not have Lowe's in front of the name.
Exactly. So you guys want to move on to Kong?
Yeah, we can do that.
Sure.
Yeah, Sean, you want to talk about the permits? It's your jazz.
Yeah, man. I've been on fire this week. Like, not to pat myself on the back, but...
It's because you're a hacker, man.
Yeah. The new permit for Kong is a building permit for the... foundation and structural steel for the building. So we should see real movement sometime soon there. You know, rather than just moving around of dirt, we should see, you know, pouring of concrete, putting up some steel, and it's gonna be fun. They're moving along. That's really all I got on that one.
Okay. Water park.
Yeah, this is the real fun one, because, well, we talked about the rumor that Teban had put out a month and a half, about the volcano water park. But at the time, it was kind of, while Teban is a very reliable source, it's still kind of, well, you know, might happen, might not. We've heard about Wondersea for so long that who knows when it's actually going to happen, even though, you know, a lot of insiders have been hinting that things are moving forward. And then today I was getting ready to basically leave. It was probably like close to 3 o'clock, but, sorry, I'm getting texts. I went on the trademark site. I probably do the trademark site once a week. Just because things don't really go up very often there. And I saw that something new had been applied for by Universal for water park and amusement services. And it was Volcano Bay, as I posted today on the blog. And that kind of set off, wow, this is probably happening. You know, this is... to go along with sources saying that it's definitely happening, you know, a trademark like that showing up when the rumor is the water park will revolve around a volcano is pretty exciting. You know, it confirms a lot of rumors. It makes things pretty set in stone, at least what they're looking to do. And I don't know. That got me jacked. I'm super excited about Diagon Alley, but as someone who's trying to stay away from spoilers until September, that getting some confirmation on that water park and what it's supposed to be themed around really is just, I'm so excited. That I've been daydreaming about that since I found that trademark.
Cool. I don't know what else there's to say about it. So
well, Steven also might have has let on that the Volcano Bay Volcano Bay is not necessarily the name of the theme park, but it could be an area of the theme park. So maybe like the wave pool and the slides around the wave pool will be known as Volcano Bay. We also had hints by Hate to Fly maybe a long time ago, probably good 5 or 6 months ago, I would say, that there would be a Minion area in the whatever the water park would happen. So I could see like the kiddie area being like Minion Beach or something.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, but it's exciting. I tweeted earlier, in the next few months, hopefully, 6, 7, 8 months, I'm hoping we get some announcements on this stuff. People are really going to see how much Hogsmeade and, in turn, Comcast buying parks has really changed everything in Orlando.
Yep.
Big things are on the way, People hear people like us say, how much is coming, but I don't think they really believe it, which is fine. I mean, it's whatever.
I don't blame them for not believing it.
No, I mean, it's pretty ridiculous what should be coming.
Yeah.
But I mean, I think in the next few months, we're really going to see the fruits of all this rumor and speculation. A lot of things should start construction in the next few months. A lot of things should come through the permitting sites in the next few months. Things have changed, and until Comcast hits a roadblock, a road bump where something doesn't do what they expect it to do, I think we're not going to see an end to it anytime soon. So everybody needs to go out and buy their Kong slushies next year.
Yeah. Buy an annual pass, buy some food.
Yeah.
Support development.
Really enjoy Diagon, because I think it's going to be the point of moving from the defining point of moving from one era to another. Hogsmeade, a lot of people will say Hogsmeade was that. Hogsmeade kind of started the transition, and I think Diagon is the full, we're here, this is what we do, this is how we do it, enjoy, more's coming.
It's the statement.
Yeah.
Hogsmeade was the, let's put everything we have on the table and hope and pray something happens. Now
yeah,
Diagon's
Hogsmeade
like,
was,
okay.
Hogsmeade was the Hail Mary.
Yeah.
Diagon is the Super Bowl winning game plan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's exciting. I can't wait.
So do you want to talk about third parks?
We can, I guess we can mention it. Just because I don't think, until there's movement on land purchases, it's not something to take super seriously. I mean, they're definitely looking at it, but, Y-Lightbulb, a seemingly decent source on WDW Magic, posted that the plans for a third park at Universal are real. They're taking them seriously, and he called it Disney Sea-esque in quality. He said that it might not end up that way, which, who knows? There, every project goes through budget cuts and stuff like that. impossible. It's impossible to say what it'll end up like, considering, you know, we're probably a good ways away from it. But the fact that they're starting at that level excites me, and, you know, I feel like we can at least expect Diagon Alley level effort from them. So, yeah, it's exciting. You know, obviously, they need to buy more land, so we'll see where that goes. But do you guys have any thoughts on water parks or their parks?
I mean, there's the outstanding rumor that the water park is more redefining of what a water park is.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I don't know what that means. I mean, could it mean it's less of just slides and more of, you know, you're in a tube, but it's like Jurassic Park, you know, like that kind of thing. I mean, I don't know what that means right now.
I feel like it's more like the latter. I feel like we're going to see things, levels of theming and detail inside rides that maybe we've never seen before.
Right.
Because, I mean, don't get me wrong, Disney's water parks are amazing. Blizzard Beach and Typhoon Lagoon are spectacular. But outside of, you know, moments here and there in the, you know, lazy rivers, you're not really getting a... And obviously, I mean, the settings, obviously, are theme park quality, but... A slide's still a slide. You're not getting, you know... There's nothing a Disney slide does that a SeaWorld slide or a Six Flags water park slide, you know, does. It doesn't do anything different.
I think,
there's anything wrong with that. I mean, their slides are good, but
I think the difference is like a themed roller coaster at any other park, compared to like the Matterhorn.
Right.
I think that's a good comparison to look at now. Is that, you know, like, right now, what we're dealing with is just theming to begin with, some theming at the end, but in the end, you're still in a plastic tube suspended, like, 50 feet above the air.
Right.
As you slide around. Compare that to what I think Wondersea is going to be more like the Matterhorn, where everything is enclosed. Not enclosed, but everything's going to be encompassed in the overarching idea.
Like,
the concept of design and staging and that idea.
That's the feeling I get. And just to be clear, we're not talking anything, you know, quote-unquote insiders have told us. This is just our...
This is massive guesswork. Speculation.
Yeah.
Just our conjecture.
I mean, like, just think about, like, me and Drew from Orlando United were just kind of tweeting back and forth a little bit today. Imagine, like, the ride they just opened at SeaWorld or at Aquatica, Ehu's Breakaway Falls.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Imagine that going through like an active volcano.
Right.
Or going through the volcano in like one of those big family raft rides where you go through tunnels of, you know, looks like magma and steam and stuff. I just think, you know, if this is what it's being billed as, it will, you know, definitely change the game.
Yep.
So, I'm just dying to get some confirmation and announcements here.
Yes.
Just one piece of art. Just give me one piece of art.
Anything, anything. You guys want to go to questions?
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay.
We're running through this show.
I know, I'm happy.
Yeah.
That's what happens when Mike's not around, apparently.
Yeah, geez, what a jerk.
Even though he talks the least.
Y'all.
Okay, actually, our first mic thing was at 8 minutes, so...
We just said Mike, though.
9 minutes. I mentioned his full name. Like, at the nine-minute mark or so I have to go edit that out. Yeah, but now we're actually referencing him, so deal with that. from On With The Shows on Twitter, do you think that once Hogwarts Express gets in the full swing, non-Harry Potter fans will be disappointed with the experience? Note that I wasn't, but I was also on the first train out with the wait only being the walk through the queue, which is huge, and yeah, stuff like that.
What do you guys think?
I think that I believe it's if you can sell the guest into something, that's what matters. And that's my, I guess, my big problem with Avatar also, is I don't think it can be sold. And also it's a bad property, but I think Harry Potter can be sold because it is fantastical in the sort of mundane, regular way. So, I mean, you know, boarding a train, feeling the experiences, seeing everything going on, it may not make sense to most people, or you won't have the same reaction like the MuggleNet crew of crying on the ride, but you'll... I feel like people still appreciate it for what it is and go, oh, that was really nice, and then get off of it and then enjoy Hogsmeade.
Yeah, I don't think people are non-Potter fans may rave about it, but I think everyone will at least enjoy it.
Yeah.
I don't think, you know, there will always be people who are disappointed when they wait in a long line for anything. Some people will be disappointed when they wait 2 hours in line for this, but I don't think it's going to be rejected by non-Potter fans. I think it will be seen as just, you know, a nice transportation ride between two parks.
I look at it like the People Mover. It's one of those things that, like, people in the community, Disney fans, rave about the People Mover because of the history and, you know, what it is. But your average Disney guest goes on the People Mover not knowing all that, and they still enjoy it. And that's kind of what I'm – this is like a transportation type thing to another level.
A lot, that I think they'll, a lot more they'll, impressive than the People Mover.
Yeah, it's like taking the idea of the People Mover and multiplying that by like 2,000 and putting it there for you to, for transportation, which is crazy. And I think if people are satisfied with something like the People Mover, they're going to be – They're going to have to be satisfied with Hogwarts Express because it does something that no other transportation device in a park does.
Yeah.
Yep. Len Testa mentions that that's some fine calligraphy there, commenting on Derek Bergen's NASCAR Grill Cup. Yeah. That was good. Derek. And going through a bunch of tweets now because he's gotten a big conversation with Inside or Universal and Orlando Park News.
Yeah, there's here. I have
and Andy Castro.
I favorited all the questions.
Okay.
Hold on.
Imagineer 2017 is my next one.
Yeah. No. NJ or, Brandon, you are.
Okay. Okay. That. Yeah. That was the other one right below it.
What is the correct hype level for the future of UOR? Very, very high. Like Little John level hype.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Imagineer 2017 on Twitter. When will they announce Uni's next expansion?
Define expansion.
Well, Kong. I honestly think the next thing is going to be a fairly big announcement.
Yeah.
That's just my gut feeling with all of the stuff that we're getting piled on right now.
Seaglock?
Oh, I forgot. Hold on. I forgot in Hotel 5, they've already started doing permits for some stuff. The zoning permit's already done for the land that Hotel 5 will go on, and building permits are starting to go up for the seemingly the pedestrian bridge work.
Pedestrian bridges.
So,
which they're gonna they were gonna have to do that anyway because of the Cabana Bay Bridge the way it is. So,
what do you mean?
Well, it only goes over a Venture Way. You still have to get across Hollywood.
No, different. They're not in the same location.
Okay.
The pedestrian bridge going across Hollywood is back towards the back of Royal Pacific and the back of this new plot of land. Not where people will be crossing for. But Hollywood Way really isn't used. Hollywood Way is only for, like, service vehicles for the most part.
Yeah, that's true.
But anyway. Imagineer 2017... Right. When will the next... I forgot what the question we were on. I'm thinking either post-Halloween Horror Nights or post... Christmas, New Year's. One of those.
I'm thinking January.
Yeah, I think January is the most likely, but, you know, sometimes they like to announce things.
They may announce it. They may just play the waters and see when everything else is getting hyped up. see when Disney's going to make their Frozen announcement or whatever and kind of go off that, maybe. That's the only other thing. I think right now they want to... I think it also depends on how well Diagon Alley does. Or what they're getting from Diagon Alley. Are they seeing people waiting for Diagon Alley? Or are people just rushing towards the gates? If they're rushing, you know, might as well announce it now. If they're waiting for it, you know, for whatever reason, hey, let's hold off and let those people come for what they're waiting for.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of question marks right now. I don't know. Anyway, Sean, next question.
Do you know who made the Hogwarts Express and Gringotts? Intamin.
Intamin and a few other companies.
Yeah, a lot of people worked on.
Yeah.
A lot of people worked on everything.
Yeah, it wasn't just like, you know, Rock and Roller Coaster's Vekoma. You know, there's a lot, these rides. I believe
Intamin seems to be the main provider for both.
They seem to be the main provider for the track, but not necessarily the ride vehicles or systems.
Right.
Right.
And that's a big designation, especially with Gringotts and a lot of the problems they've had.
Yes.
Speaking of Gringotts, oh, no, wrong one. Wait, we have definitely had another question. Where did that go?
I don't know.
Did I miss it? I might have missed it. Hold on. Oh, no, I just didn't favorite it. It's the last one anyway.
Okay, that's fine.
We'll do that. No, relax. speaking of the Gringotts problems, JT Pearson 02 on Twitter asks, what lessons should Universal learn from Gringotts problems? How can they avoid similar issues in the future? Well, one, don't hire Intamin. Two, I don't really, you know, a lot of people have been bitching about Gringotts and the quote-unquote problems it's had. I don't think it's that big of a deal. Shit happens on a ride this complicated. Intamin may have screwed up, but I don't think it's like end-of-the-world level screw-ups like we saw with Rip Ride Rocket or Test Track or stuff like that, you know?
Or original Jaws, or...
Right, yeah.
I think...
Knock on wood, this ride shouldn't have to go down for 2 years to fix, you know? It's just... at this point, it's small-level problems that they're trying to iron out, and... You know, it's a new, sophisticated ride system. Stuff's gonna break.
I mean, the vehicles...
And not break, but... Yeah.
I mean, the vehicles have to talk to the ride system. The ride system talks to the vehicles. Things get activated. Right. There's motion simulators. There's spinning. There's coaster elements. You know, there's a bunch of just effects everywhere. It just, yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where it just seems incredibly complicated, and just getting those things to communicate and then realizing those things can't communicate too well in an active environment. It's those kinds of things. So
yeah,
the only thing I would say is maybe just even... testing, or I don't know what else to say, really, because if you go for a new ride system, you have to test, or you have to at least think about applying it in some sort of mechanical or ride system instead of a laboratory. That's the best way I can think of it. But
the very good news is none of this should be a problem. It should be a problem with King Kong should be pretty straightforward,
knock on wood.
Yeah. Unless there's something we don't know about.
Yeah, once the audio animatronic lifts your ride vehicle operator out.
All right, next. What from Matt?
No,
718.
I have a quick one. From at Durable Junk, he asks, when will at Derek Bergen?
When will he be back on?
I don't know. The question we posted was, we're sitting down to record. Any questions? And he said, when will Derek Bergen? And I'm like, not now. Soon.
No, it says, when will Derek Bergen be back on / replace Mike?
Yeah. There we go.
Derek Bergen doesn't need a damn podcast to host.
He has like 8 of them. He's on like 20 podcasts. And he works for Touring Plans.
Derek Bergen is like the Seth MacFarlane of podcasts. He's in everything.
He has his finger everywhere. You're like, oh, I like this. Oh, wait, he's in this? Oh, okay. I guess.
Except maybe Bergen's a little more likable than Seth MacFarlane. Maybe.
And definitely funnier.
Yes, probably.
Mr. Sean.
Sorry. Then the last question. What would you guys like from Matt Eights? What?
No, we don't have there's a few other ones.
Where?
Yeah, Matt 8718 asks.
That's what I was doing.
Yeah, I know, but that's not the last one.
All right. Matt 8718 asks, what would you guys like to see happen to Kidzone?
I'd like to see family, a family IP with family attractions, and by family I mean Haunted Mansion or Pirates of the Caribbean, you know, kind of that doesn't require height requirement, but still really exhilarating, immersive e-tickets.
Never gonna happen, Joe.
It's gonna happen.
Never gonna happen.
That's what I want to see.
I'd like to see that too, but I think the chances of that are very slim.
Nick?
I've already talked about that so many times. what all have we said? Turtles, something with Nickelodeon. What else? The Grover ride that we talked about.
Yes, the Grover ride, yes.
I mean, there's so many things that they could pull out. Scooby-Doo was mentioned. I don't know. I'm just going to let them do their thing and see what happens at this point.
I hear you, Sean. You're a fan again, Sean.
It's not.
Is that what that is?
Yeah.
I don't know what you want me to do.
There we go. It's gone now.
I literally didn't do anything.
It's not there anymore.
Nothing happened. I don't know what I want from Kidzone. That's just the project right now that I don't care at all about.
I know. Fair enough.
I'm just like, what? It's happening. I'll enjoy it when it's done. At this point, I don't care. There's bigger and better things to worry about.
And then
apparently there's more. I'll let you read the rest.
I guess it was covered already because I didn't read it, but. On with the Show's ask, do you think any Universal water park can really top the best in the world? And I hear the fan again.
Dude, I don't know. You're imagining this fan. Yeah, hell yeah. Like we said, if it does something new that we've never seen before, hell yeah, it can top anything else.
Yeah.
Okay. So, I guess we're done with questions. Unofficial guide or meetup? Which one do you want to talk about first?
We'll mention the unofficial guide now. We want to thank our friend of the show, Len Testa, and friend of the show, Derek Bergen, for helping us, for putting us and helping us get into the unofficial guide.
To Walt Universal Disney World and
Universal.
Well, it's the unofficial guide to Walt Disney World and Beyond Disney.
Ugh.
Are the two the two books.
We gotta talk to Len about that name.
Well, it includes other hits such as Holy Land and the alligator thing. Yeah, it does.
Really?
Are you serious?
Yeah, it includes Holy Land
reviews.
I kinda
get it just to read about Holy Land.
Oh, it's so good.
Just because I think that whole concept is ridiculous.
Yeah, you need to read it for the Holy Land. But they also have Gatorland, and they have a bunch of other minor attractions in there.
I've been to Gatorland.
And they have full reviews of all the putt-putt places in Orlando. In
that's awesome.
Disney.
I want that job.
Yeah, there you go. So
Glenn, give me a call. I want to be the putt-putt master.
So what you... the putt-putt whisperer. So... basically, buy both of the books. go to your local Barnes & Noble and go and find the unofficial guides and highlight where we're at in the book.
Yes, highlight I might do that.
Just go to Barnes and Noble, start highlighting.
Hey, what are you doing there?
See how long it takes for me to get kicked out.
Similar to how Bill Waterston was randomly signing Calvin and Hobbes books in Cleveland area. So we'll go highlight the books. Yeah, we're mentioned in the Universal section under the websites. Also, buddies of ours, Orlando United, are mentioned, which is great.
Yeah, we really appreciate that.
We really do. It means a lot. Especially considering, I grew up reading those books obsessively when the internet wasn't around as much. And that's the best thing I had towards being on the rides or experiencing stuff or obsessing about the stuff. Was just kind of pouring through the unofficial guide.
Yeah. So,
it's kind of scary to think about that.
Same with, I was with my buddy in Orlando. You remember him, Nick. I don't want to mention his name because he works for companies. But, you know, he met Seth Kaburski, and Seth's like, oh, yeah, I'm writing on the book, and, you know, I'd like to get your input on some stuff because he works for a company. And and I'm like, he's like, oh, yeah, what's Seth do? I'm like, oh, yeah, he writes the unofficial guide to Disneyland. And he's like, oh, you mean the book I've been reading since 1998? So, yeah, it's that kind of thing where we're kind of geeking out right now. So thank you, guys.
Oh, we got another question, guys.
Oh, snap.
Yeah, from Hate.
Oh, no.
You want me to read it?
Yeah, read it.
Why is Joe worried I might have some friends scare the piss out of him at Halloween Horror Nights this year?
Because I've already talked to some people.
Did you really? Yes.
No, by that I mean, hey, they want to do this, and they're like, yeah, that sounds like a great idea. Blah blah blah. I'm like, no, I don't. No. So.
Oh, I can't wait. It's gonna be so good. Speaking of which, that actually was a great segue. Thank you, Hate. We are, as some of you may know from Twitter, we're going to be down again, all four of us will be down in Orlando at Universal Orlando for Halloween Horror Nights and other assorted goodness such as Diagon Alley, September 25th to the 30th.
This is a rare thing, people.
Yeah. It's rare to get Mike out of Louisiana.
It's hard, y'all.
So, yeah, we will be there, we'll be hanging out, we'll be going to Halloween Horror Nights, we'll be hanging out in the parks, we'll be hanging out at the pools and the, you know, at our resorts, and we are planning on doing a pub crawl one day, a Universal Orlando pub crawl, hitting Finnegan's, Shea Alcatraz, Duff Brewery / Moe's, one or the other. Leaky Cauldron / Fountain of Fair Fortune, whatever we decide there. Then we'll be hitting the Hogwarts Express to go to Islands of Adventure. And going to the Hogshead. And past, there's, you know, I have a lot of people telling me that there's another good drink place at Islands of Adventure, the Watering Hole at Jurassic Park, that apparently has really good mixed drinks.
Yeah, that's a good place. Yeah, that's Bry Mann's and Hates and all those guys' favorite place.
Okay, so maybe we'll have to add that one then after the Hogshead, and then Backwater Bar. We'll finish up Islands of Adventure.
Depending on how we feel.
Yeah. And then I'm thinking dinner at Antojitos afterwards. And then after that, Halloween Horror Nights post game.
Oh, no. Oh.
Joe, at least you should be sufficiently drunk.
Really? Sufficiently drunk after 12 places we're going to? Who'd have thought?
Joe walks in and boom, he's sober.
Also, I'm assuming that there's absolutely no way everyone will, just money-wise, will be able to drink at every place. So
it may be one of those things where we split stuff, maybe.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, if we're looking at it, I mean, when we really think about it, if we're getting... If we go to the Fountain of Fair Fortune or Leaky, you know, maybe we'll just order one of the two unique beers and then split them or something, or
I want to do this because there's a couple places that I want to try that I've never actually been to.
Yeah.
Where have you never been? Alcatraz. Neither have I. Alcatraz has really, people love it. People rave about it. Apparently it has really good mixed drinks.
Fresh chips.
Apparently it has like good appetizers and stuff. And it's just one of those places that I never get around to going to. Finnegan's, I've only ever had like a quick beer at. I've never really like hung out there.
I've never been at Finnegan's.
Like everybody loves it.
Yeah, I know. I've just never gone in there.
So I'd like to, you know, give that a try. Obviously the Daigon beers I need to try. And then the watering hole and back. I've been to I've never been to Watering Hole, and I've only ever gotten a quick beer at Backwater. So yeah. I'm mostly doing this to hang out at new places in the park and kind of do a chill day.
Sounds good.
And I'm also going to be hanging out at the pool before we do this. This is my pool / drinking day.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
So yeah, I think that's about it, right?
I'm just going to go to the parks all the time because that's all I do. Yay! I don't have anything else. You guys have anything else?
No.
September 25th through 30th. Be there. We'll have more information soon. Probably announce when we go to Antihito so people can meet us up. Maybe do another meetup sometime.
Well, yeah, I want to come to this pub crawl.
Yeah, maybe some Cinematic Spectacular a thing we can do. We can do the pub crawl.
Well, Cinematic Spectacular.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
You're not going to be there any day that have Cinematic Spectacular.
Oh, poopy. Yeah, I guess not. God damn it. I really like that show too. I guess the pub crawls are a big thing and dinner at Antihito's, so I hope all the Poor Judgment crew show up. I hope a lot of other people show up.
Yeah, I guess we can't do that on Saturday then.
Yeah.
Because they're doing their big thing on Saturday.
Oh, really?
That at the Adventurers, charity thing.
Oh.
So we could do that. We could do it on Sunday though.
We'll figure it out. We'll figure this out sometime.
We'll just do it on Sunday. Because if we start a pub crawl at 1 or 2 o'clock in the afternoon, people will have plenty of time to sober up at night.
Yeah, I can't. I mean, I can't do it on Monday, so it's got to be Sunday. If y'all, I got to drive back to Georgia.
I'm flying back.
Yeah, we'll do it Sunday.
I guess. Yeah, we'll decide beforehand. But yeah, Sunday, I guess. There we go. Yeah. Okay, sounds good. We'll talk to you later. Make sure to rate us on iTunes, because you can do that thing. Just search for us at the Parkscope.
Stitcher, whatever the hell you use.
Stitcher, whatever your mode of reviewing is. Yeah, we haven't got any new iTunes reviews in a while, so I'm disappointed in that. So that has to happen. So go rate us. You can follow me at Parkscope Joe. Nick, where can we find you at?
At Parkscope Nick.
Thank you, Sean. Sean, where can we find you at?
Parkscope _ Sean.
And it's because Sean.
Sean.
How do you spell Sean?
S-E-A-N.
Good. Okay. I just want to make sure, because you said Sean, so I'm not sure people are going to be like, Parkscope _ S-H-A-W-N. It's like, no. You can find Mike at CaptMike87. You can find us all at Parkscope. No one wants to actually follow Mike because he's just a bundle of nerves right now. Mike's being Mike. He's in love. You don't understand, guys. Love everybody, hate everything. Okay, peace out, guys. Have a good time.
Drink up, this boo-boo.
We're just five friends on a night out, having a good time.
Well, show me the way to the next whiskey bar. Oh, don't ask why. Oh, don't ask why. Show me the way to the next whiskey bar. I tell you we must die. I tell you.
I tell you, we must die.
Drinking.
Ah,
beer, pubs.
Shall we?
I feel a little uncomfortable drinking this much.
No, man, it's like Dutch courage, isn't it? You know when the English soldiers used to drink Dutch gin before battle to give them super strength?
I thought that was to numb the sense of impending doom.
Exactly. We're just five friends on a night out having a good time.